Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. It is Monica Michelle on Michelle Minutes. Thanks so much for joining me today. And let me tell you a little bit about where you can find me, and then we can dive into this episode. You can find me on Periscope, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, wherever. And my handle, just like this show, is Monica Michelle S. And that's, yes, Michelle with two L's. So Monica Michelle S, you can find me and locate me. So let me tell you about today's show. What we're doing is a series of shows about Her Story. So the Her Story series is talking to different business ladies in different spaces of their business. And they're all sharing their story as far as why they started the business that they started, what obstacles that they had to contend with or overcome to get the business started, or maybe even the obstacles that they're still facing today and that they're having to manage and build that tension out. I've been doing marketing for quite some time, and in doing so, of course, just like anybody else, I've run into my own set of obstacles or opportunities to overcome as I walk out this journey of called business. And so to have a community of women that are pulling together and to share their stories on how they picked the business that they picked or why they picked it they picked, the hope and the goal and the prayer is that it speaks to someone out in radio land or on the World Wide Web that needs to hear it's not just them, that needs to hear that you too can overcome whatever it is that you're currently facing and whatever you're currently working on or whatever obstacle that stands in your way. When you hear the stories of others that have been through losing their mom or fighting against something that they know they need to be in or, you know, just the trying to graduate college while they're still managing a child and managing a business and picking the right inventory, when you're hearing the stories of others that are that have kind of been where you are or maybe even currently presently where you are, and they're all in different places of their business, it should provide you with some comfort. And that's what we're here to do, provide you with some comfort, some inspiration, some storytelling, so that we can help move that needle and move you along your journey. So today we actually have Tanya Jackson. She is with Taboo Enterprises. So, of course, my first question is going to be, why did she name it Taboo Enterprises? But she is online. Let me see if I can get her now so we can learn about her. Tanya, can you hear me?
I can.
Awesome, awesome,
awesome. Can you
hear me? Welcome. Yes, ma'am, loud and clear. You're coming through. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having
me. Definitely appreciate you coming on. No problem. So we're going to dive right in. But before doing so, and I'm, please forgive me, where is the best place people can find you if they want more information about you or what you do? How can people best connect with you?
Well, can connect with me on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter at Taboo Talks, TABOOTALKS is the best place to connect.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you much. Taboo Talks. So why is your business name Taboo Talk or Taboo Enterprises, and what do you do?
Well, Taboo Enterprises, I know it not only the actual word taboo, which is a somewhat of a stigma connotation, somewhat previously a negative connotation of something like, ooh, scary, or I shouldn't do. So I just really wanted to play on that and take a spin on it and put it in a positive sense. Because to me, it's taboo is those particular societal ills or irregularities that we don't necessarily talk about or do, but that we should in order to live a more true and authentic life. So under the umbrella Taboo Enterprises, there are several things which Taboo Talks falls under, and I'm also working on some apparel line as well. So I'm also working on a women's monologue show. So the enterprise is the umbrella that those individual platforms will fall under. Fair enough.
And yes. What was the first business that started under the Great Umbrella?
The first is Taboo Talks. I have held conversations in my home with a variety of friends and girlfriends just on a periodic basis. We're just sharing things, having conversation, but really, really trying to just gel in a form of sisterhood and talk about those things that we don't ordinarily feel comfortable talking about. But I wanted to provide a safe place and a safe space because I feel that there are some of us out, as I have been and still evolving from, some women who have been wounded in areas of self-care, self-love, and love of others. So I wanted to provide tools, resources, and a platform for all of us to transition into some brave women warriors who are able to just use their voice to speak up, to speak out, and be seen in all capacities of their lives. So that's what Taboo Talks is. And currently we are hosting monthly events where we're getting together to have some authentic conversation and just talk about those things that we ordinarily don't want to talk about, because a lot of women come to me and confide in me, and I'm able to share and to pour into a lot of people as other people have poured into me. But I found out that there's a lot of things we don't ordinarily like to talk about so freely. You know, as women, we'll, you know, say, oh, my gosh, that's a beautiful dress. That's a beautiful outfit. Oh, your hair looks great. Your shoes are, you know, where'd you get your nails done? You know, but we don't ever have the conversation about, you know what, I think I'm going through a period of depression. We don't have the conversation about mental health. We don't have the conversation about sex. We don't have the conversation about our children and things that our children, that my children, you know, are on drugs, or my child just told me she's gay. Or we don't have those particular conversations out authentically, and we should. We should. Right. Our friends should be a safe place and a safe space to have that. And so I wanted to provide that platform to let them know, first of all, you're not alone, and that it's okay to talk about things that trouble you, and you don't have to hide. You know, so the stigma that sometimes we place on ourselves, you know, we do a lot of self-infliction as women, and I want to provide a platform where we can come from under that cover and be, you know, be confident and authentic in our walk in life, because we all struggle with a lot of things, and we have a lot of similarities. So once we talk about that and be able to be on a platform where we can provide education to help one another, because it's all about growing and learning and being the best we can be.
Right, absolutely. So let me ask, because it sounds like you've built an awesome community, and that's kind of where it started from, of having those conversations in the home and having the safe space to have those conversations and to be able to be free to speak about life all across the board and to share life with others, which is such an important thing to do. Has this has this always been something that's kind of been an innate part of you, or something that you just saw that was missing, or what made you start the conversations, and how did you go about figuring out how and where to start?
Well, if I look back and reflect over my life, I think I've always had a passion for women. I've always had a passion to help women, regardless of where they are in their place in life. So I think it has always been in me to do that because I came from a place where I didn't ask for help. I hid and knew I needed help, but I didn't ask for help. So I think the transition of me constantly pouring out and trying to help others, you know, I realized I really was not helping them to the fullest because I was hiding myself. So me recognizing that I needed to be really, really authentic I needed to tell my story and my truth, and that was the only way that I could really help someone get to where they needed to be in their own individual life and walk with themselves. So I think it's just transcended from just living life and living it out loud. A lot of varieties that I realized that if I'm not true to me, then how am I really helping other people if I want them to walk in their truth and I was not walking in my truth? So now, after a lot of self-analysis, you know, I realize it's time to put that platform on a more profound level, which is an open level and not in a private level. So that led me to transition from it doing privately in my home to doing it publicly and opening up to other people.
Wow. Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's crazy as far as how many different things that we all go through. And even when it comes to like figuring out what your purpose is or your passion is, when you stop and look back and you see that I've been doing this my whole life, I just didn't know. I didn't realize I was doing it. I was just doing it. Like, I can make money.
Exactly.
Like, what? This can be a business. So it's amazing at how that happens when you pause and take self-reflection to see what have I been doing that was effortless? What did I naturally fall into?
Yep. Exactly.
So one
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I said I agree with you wholeheartedly. Yes, for sure.
Right, exactly. So I know a little bit about being out of community. I moved from Georgia to Greensboro, North Carolina, and then recently, well, not recent, it's been like 2.5 years.
Wait, let's slow down. This is so crazy. You moved to Greensboro, North Carolina?
Yeah, I did a couple of years ago, and about 2.5 years ago I moved to Charlotte.
Okay, I was born in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Were you really?
Yes. Oh, my gosh, you're going full circle. That's crazy.
Right, yeah. We're just traveling the same path. We're just doing it in different orders. That's all.
Yeah, that's great.
So yeah, I was there for about 17 years. And it was different for me because I'm the oldest of about seven. And so my parents are divorced, and between both houses, about seven of us. And so when I moved to Greensboro, I was so far away from family, and I'm used to having someone constantly ask and need. A part of me was relieved that I didn't have to have all the extra responsibility of community, but at the same time, it's a two-sided coin. I missed it. And so I found myself, at least in the beginning, struggling to find community. So when people are searching for a community or knowing that they need to be around others, do you have any advice or tips on how people can find that or make it happen?
And I think if we just look at the end result and realize that our life is really bigger than us, and that no matter how much the most introvert person still needs another person.
Right.
You still need someone outside of you, someone outside of your family. And so for those of us who are extroverts, like I go in the grocery store, I talk to strangers, you know, so I never meet a stranger. I don't mind talking to people. You know, I have a very good tribe of friends, a good tribe of associates. So I'm not lacking people to hang around or to be with. So I'm very, very fortunate in that particular aspect. But I think if we realize that our life is beyond us and it's bigger than us, it's bigger than being a mother, it's bigger than being a wife, it's bigger than being a girlfriend, it's bigger than being a sister, it's bigger than being an aunt, it's bigger than being an entrepreneur or whatever label that has been placed on us, then I think we will realize we have no choice to get outside and get involved in somebody else's life to help to where they need to be, because life is one big domino game. When I kick off, I have no choice but to affect you for you to kick off. So if I am withholding from my community, I'm withholding all the gifts and the the love, the compassion, the empathy, the knowledge, the wisdom. If I, that's not just for me to keep and contain. It's given to us as a gift for us to share. It's called a gift because we give it. It's not a gift if we keep it. So if I have a gift, it is my job to give that gift. And shame on me, shame on us, if we never distribute and give that gift, because that means that our sisters are lacking that one piece of the puzzle of their life, because we are not giving that piece of the puzzle that they need to get them to the next level in their life. So that's my particular thought process on that.
Yeah, that is good right there. It's crazy that as far as the gift that's placed inside of you has created an open space for women to come together to develop a community and a sister.
Because I think about, and, you know, my thought process has always been different and unique and challenging. But even though I am not, out marching for, you know, the Women's March, and my heart is there, I'm not on a national campaign or a national level champion for women on an open forum level like that.
But
women are the greatest gift to earth, and no one will ever be able to tell me that's not true. We have the best gift that we are able to give. We are able to give life. And I'm not just talking about giving life in a physical sense for a child. That is indeed a gift. We are able to do something that no man can do, because man, male, would not be here had it not been for a woman. But we have so much inside of us that when you think of it in the totality of womanhood, you know, we always talk about, you know, how a woman is almost like a diamond. We think about how, you know, a diamond is in its initial form, it's just a crazy looking ugly rock. You know, it's just buried amongst a whole bunch of other, you know, unmentionables. You know, but once that rock is removed from its foundation, from the place of where it was birthed, and then, you know, it has a lot of rough edges on it, but when that diamond is polished, the diamond transcends, the value transcends what somebody sees that is not, it's invaluable. But because of the calamities of life, all of the things that make our edges rough, the obstacles that we have to go through in a professional capacity of always being two steps behind every male that we ever work with, just by default, we are two steps behind. We're two steps behind in a lot of levels of life of being entrepreneurs. It's so much easier for a male because they've set it up that way. But because of who we are and the capacity of what we contain in our lives, the polishing of one another, because, see, when I've helped polish you and help you get to where you want to be, then you're able to do that to another, then your value increases.
Right.
So we are the most, the value of a woman. Just look at what we do, what we can do with our children, what we can do when we get with a man, what we can do when we get on a job. We're the only species that is able to multitask, to think and to do and to be at the same damn time. We're able to give to give life on so many platforms and level. There is nothing that once we put our minds up to, there is nothing on this earth that we cannot utterly do. There is nothing.
Wow.
What is it? Who can tell me? Who can show me? Nobody. Nobody. So so that's my end result and my belief for every woman to believe that. You don't have to define your womanhood. You don't have to. Everybody doesn't have dreams to be a millionaire. And just because you don't, that's okay. But whatever your dream is, do that and knock knock the hell out of it. Whatever it is, do it. Because there will be no one else who can do it like you. Mm-hmm. And so we have this gift to do some supernatural things, but sometimes in life, as I have, as you have, we allow life to overtake us, to overshadow us, to make us doubt ourselves, to challenge our confidence, to weaken us, to make us get on an unstable bearing. But I tell you, once we recover, sometimes our recovery is quick, sometimes our recovery is slow. But I tell you, when we get ourselves together, then our girlfriends get behind us. Then our tribe gets behind us.
Right.
Who can stop us? Who? Where are you?
Right.
There's nobody. When we make up our mind to do something, so the power that we have in our minds, and that's why I'm saying if we would just be authentic and be each other's cheerleaders, be able to communicate what our dreams, what our fears are, it's okay to have fears. It's okay to be scared. But when you tell me your fears, you tell me you're scared, I'm able to help you overcome that so you can get to where you want to be and need to be for yourself and for whoever else you're destined and chosen to touch in this life. Because life is short. Time is short. Time is small. That we only have such a window. And, you know, and I think about, you know, my regrets in life. You know, my primary regret is I didn't trust myself. That's one primary regret I have. And I didn't trust myself soon enough. But yet, if I had somebody to prod me, to challenge me, to tell me to move forward, that you could do it, I believe I would have done it sooner. You know, but I was following, you know, my husband's dream because I thought his dream was more important than my dream. And it only took me, you know, 20 years being married and then getting a divorce to realize how I lived a life as a wife and a mother, and I forgot who I was. That I was a person before I got married. I was a person before I had children.
Yes.
Those are titles, but those titles and roles never defined who I was. I was still Tanya and still should have acted out, and I still would have been more successful as a wife and maybe not gotten a divorce. I still would have been successful as a mother had I stayed authentic to myself, but I succumbed to the roles and the imagery of what society told me, thing that I desired and had been birthed in me, aside, because I thought that's what I was supposed to do, but nobody ever challenged me to do what I knew I should have done. And so that's my one regret, that I didn't trust myself. And you know, and I think about it, and I'm like, I trusted everybody else but me. How could I have done that to me?
Right.
You know? And so that's what I want everyone. I want you to trust yourself. You know? Trust you. You know? But
absolutely. No, it's good. Because a lot of times when you trust yourself and you listen to that sixth sense or your intuition or however it is that whatever you know you, and when you take the time to pause and listen to you and think about, I've been doing that my whole life. That comes natural to me. Or in order for me to function correctly, I need to have music playing in the morning. Whatever your things are, when you take time to know yourself and trust that if I play my music in the morning, I'm going to be good all day, as opposed to when you wake up, you're supposed to wake up to the alarm clock buzzing, not to music. So when you trust yourself, you do what's better for you, which makes you better for everyone else.
Oh,
so, I mean,
yes, Yes.
How cool is that? Absolutely.
You know, but I think about it, I think about our generational, and I as I try to raise my children, my daughters, I have a college student, and I have a daughter who's 16, who's in the 10th grade, and my teaching, because I think, you know, we don't understand what the word parent is. The word parent is to teach. I am teaching them to live outside of me. Now that they're outside of my womb, I'm teaching them to definitely live outside of me. So I'm grooming them to be responsible citizens, responsible women, to make a contribution on society. But then I realized the teachings that my mother gave me, a lot of stuff she gave me was taboo. Don't do this. Don't do that. It was a whole bunch of don'ts. She never told me. She taught me everything not to do, but she didn't tell me how to do what I should do. So I'm like, what? That really didn't work a lot, because I could have alleviated a whole bunch of heartache. And, you know, from my high school to, you know, my mid-20s, had you given me the appropriate tools of what to do in the right way, instead of just telling me, no, don't do this, don't do that.
Right.
You know, so I'm raising my children.
Gonna say no.
Exactly. Right. You know, very, very differently. Fortunate, you know, they listen a fourth of the time. You know, they turn it out pretty good, you know, considering I'm their mama. But I just think about how our parents, my mother raised me, and I'm sure now if she could do it differently, she would have. You know, so it's, you know, my job teaching them, you know, if you're going to have a family, you know, and your children, you know, these are some of the things and how you have to have conversations and teaching them. You know, we're teaching our children, you know, just the basic 101s of life, how to wash clothes and dishes and all that stuff. All of that is good. But what you need to do, you need to know how to communicate with people. You need to be able to identify certain people in your life. You know,
they need to learn how to trust themselves.
Of a life lessons, because their life is not going to be with me. It's going to be with other people. Mm-hmm. So I got to teach you how to deal with different ethnicities and how to deal with people who don't look like you, talk like you, act like you, how you can still get along with somebody who's different to get the job done. That's what I'm teaching.
Right.
You know, that's the value in me parenting you. Because anybody can teach you how to wash dishes and do clothes. You can hire somebody to do that. But when you're on your job and you're dealing with somebody who's from India, you need to know how to communicate and deal with them.
Right.
You know?
Find common ground. Yeah, you need to know how to do it. The soft skills.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the crazy part about it is, being a part of a community of women helps you sharpen that, because women see things in each other that typically men won't see in a woman, and vice versa. Men see things in each other that women don't see in a man. And so by having women together with you, we're able to iron sharpens iron. We're able to say, hey, are you sure that's it? Are you sure there's nothing else you need to say? You know, we're able to prod a little bit and
reflect
and give you what you need.
Yeah,
especially
because
when
you know,
to make everyone stronger.
Yeah, and I think if anything, we need to kind of look at how men and they have their relationships. Men don't have BS going on in their friendship. Men's friendships are very, very. And if that there are about five things. I'm just gonna say five now. I will stretch and go six, but. And I'm not going any further than that. That we can learn from a male. And I try to emulate, you know, men don't sweat the small stuff. And if we could ever learn that lesson, and that's why I think our dichotomy with men, you know, we want to hee-haw and, you know, bitch about this. And they, you know, and they looking at us like, really? You arguing with me about the trash? You know, really? Because I didn't call you. That's small simple stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So if we in our friendships with our girlfriends, with our, you know, with our children, with, you know, on our jobs, if we didn't sweat the small stuff, the isms and schisms that in, at the end of the day don't add up to, they add up to zero. Men are experts at that. You know, they don't deal with that. You know, so we could just learn,
right.
You know, look at men's friendship. They can go out, they can be mad at each other, but that tomorrow they playing golf. They good.
Right.
But
well, let's go play. Right.
Right.
I ain't talking to you for 20 years because you didn't call me yesterday.
Right. We're going to get on the telephone. We're going to call our other girlfriends. Let me tell you what she did. Really?
And let me tell you what she was thinking when she did it, even though I don't know.
Right. So I'm like, okay, you know, because I'm, you know, I just want to say what I got to say, and I'm just, okay, I'm done, and I'm going to move on. That's what it, cause so let's, I'm like, I'm trying to live the best life I can. So, all right, you mad, I don't like it, I'm mad, so I'm mad too. So let me just tell you, this is how I'm going to play it out, I'm going to roll it out, and I'm done.
And when you're done, come on.
I'm going to move on. Okay.
When you done being upset,
so
come on, let's go.
Right. So I'm trying to, you know, do things differently, you know. Sometimes
right.
It work out good, sometimes it don't. But, you know, if I got to live my best life, you know, because I'm trying to find the next trip, next plane, boat, train, wherever it's going, whoever want to go with me, let's
right.
go. That's all I'm about right now. Because, you know, our job, life is complicated enough. And it's
yeah.
going to bring a lot of things that we cannot control. But those particular things that we can control, let's not sweat it. Let's not make it, put a magnifying glass in front of it and make it bigger and larger than it is. Those of us who are on this entrepreneurial, you know, path, there are going to be a lot of hiccups in the road. There are going to be a lot of stepping stones. But I guarantee you, if you stay with it, have the right people who will push you. Because I think sometimes, in our relationships, we want, in our girlfriends, we want yes girls. Whatever we do, it's a yes.
Yes.
I need
that's good, yes.
to tell me, you know what, Jackson, that shit was not good. I need a girlfriend to call me on the carpet. I need a girlfriend to say,
the
you know what, you
yeah.
hurt my feelings. I need
right.
a girlfriend to push me beyond my comfort zone, to push me to grow,
right.
to push, because you know what I'm saying? If
that's
I'm your
you
friend,
yeah.
if you're associated with me, if I'm not challenging you, pushing you to grow, calling you on your BS, then drop me from being your friend, because you're not adding value
yeah.
to my life. Either,
to my life.
Either we're
right.
adding value to people's life or we're decreasing
like
the value.
Right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so sometimes, you know, women, right, we have a hard time, you know, identifying and communicating and finding those people because we don't want people to tell us we're wrong because I was one of those. I was always Miss Right. I had the title. Didn't nobody take it away from me. But I am a work in progress. Because I'm the first one to tell you, you know, that stuff, that's some messed up stuff right there. But then when somebody try to tell me, I'm looking at you like, are you going to tell me that?
No.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
I'm
no.
I'm working.
Uh-uh.
I'm working.
Step one is to identify that there's a problem. So we're
yes,
in the right
yes.
direction.
So all us entrepreneurs who are moving forward, just stay with it and get the right people to push you, to challenge you, to prod you when you want to be lazy, when you don't want to work on your plan, when you don't want to do this. Have people to say, hey, you hadn't done this. I ain't seen you. You know, where's your speaking engagement? Where are you working in a community? Have people who will challenge you and get you out of your you know, because it's easy to get comfortable. It's easy to just, you know, stay on the, you know, it's like when you go to the airport, you know,
mm-hmm.
you get on. Either you can get on the train and get to the concourse faster, or you can get on that little moving little escalator thing.
The flat escalator.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Right, the flat little escalator, and you're just comfortable with that. But, you know, you're going to get there, but you're going to get there real slow, you know.
Right.
So let's just, you know, all get on the train so we can get to where we need to go you know, and not be divided. So just, you know, stay focused. And then sometimes, you know, as entrepreneurs, we need help and we're scared to ask for help. And nobody listens to anything else I say. I want to tell you this, and I'm speaking truth, my truth. It's okay to ask for help. And as an only child and living a life, I was married 20 years to a pastor. So I know about people asking for help because I gave a lot of help. But when I had to stand up in front of their congregation and tell them I was divorcing their pastor, that was a whole different ballgame. And when all of my friends, not ever, as they say, not one time knew I had marital issues or that I was contemplating a divorce, and I called them after I was divorced to tell them, they should have kicked me to the curb because I ain't tell them nothing. But so I know about not asking for help. I'm the first one in that line of five. So what I want to tell everybody, it's okay to ask for help. You don't get no badge of honor for trying to think you can do it on your own because you can't.
Right.
It's okay to ask for help. Say, you know what? I got this idea. I don't know. And you never know. Once you articulate what your need is, there are a plethora of people out there who are able to put you in contact with people who can give you the assistance that you need to help you think things through. Sometimes the help is just listening to my crazy thoughts and helping me make sense out of it. Sometimes it may be a financial help. Sometimes it may be a help of I'm trying to reach a person. So you know a person on LinkedIn who can help me get to where I need to be. So it's okay to ask for help. That does not lessen your knowledge, your ability, your wisdom, because we can't know it all or do it all. And I need, because you have that gift of knowledge, so I need the contact with you so you can share that knowledge. So ask for help.
Good.
It's okay.
That's good.
It's okay.
That's good right there. Well, Tanya, I just want to let you know that we have went over our 30 minutes. The conversation is right good. And you are fine because I could have said, hold on. But no, you good. So I definitely appreciate the conversation and the encouragement and the stories and the information and you just taking the time to share what's on your heart. Because I know that, like you said, in working with the women that you've worked with and even in the previous positions that you've been in, we all need each other. And there's something that you have that I need, and there's something that she has that someone else needs, or something that I have that someone else needs. So by us taking the time to share this information, I'm sure it touches someone's heart because I know it touched mine, and I appreciate it.
Thank you.
No problem. Thank you. For the last time, before we sign off, where can we find you?
At Taboo Talks on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, TABOOTALKS. Taboo Talks.
Excellent. And Taboo Talks, we will be connecting with you. In addition to that, we're also going to start a Facebook group, so I'll be inviting you to the group, so hopefully we can keep the conversation going. It'll be open to others as well. You just come on over if you want to join, and you'll be able to find it by connecting with me at Monica Michelle S. But thanks so much for talking with me and sharing her story. And
thank you.
We look forward to having more conversations. You're welcome. You have a good evening, Tanya.
You too. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Anytime.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And thanks so much, everyone, for taking your time to listen to us and talk with us and hear the story and the information that was shared today. Hopefully it encouraged you in some form or fashion. I know it definitely encouraged me, and we want to keep the conversation going. When you see her, you can hear her story, and in return, it's going to reflect some way back to you. So by all means, connect with me, Monica Michelle S., on Facebook, if you're interested in joining the group, or you can click the link in my bio and you should be able to get to it that way as well. I hope you have a great evening. Again, my name is Monica Michelle with Monica Michelle Marketing, and this is Michelle Minutes signing off. Have a good one. Bye-bye.